Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They discover her after a few weeks because people in the hotel start complaining that the water is brown and tastes, I'm going to throw up even thinking about it, tastes weird, and they were showering in it. The documentary is an interview with a couple that was like,
I have goosebumps all over my whole body. This is so gnarly.
Welcome back to Overshare, the podcast. I'm Lily, and I feel like I didn't even say the T on podcast there.
It was just podcast.
That's I'm Lily here with Jocelyn, and I'm delirious, but you know, how are you?
I'm feeling incredibly delirious as well. I'm always like, what day is it? And then I say to myself,
they're all the same.
What is day?
Does
what
it
is
matter?
Time?
Right?
Who am I? But this is the first time we've ever recorded and shot this podcast in like the afternoon, evening, night. So you know how I do at night. Things just get weird very quickly.
I was just looking. I'm like, it's surprisingly still light outside, actually.
Well, that's because the days are getting longer. We're finally coming out of this like winter depression.
Okay. Want to bring something up that I feel like I always think and I never talk to anyone about. I didn't know that days get like...
Lily, hashtag science.
Because I know that there's daylight savings, but that's because we're like changing we're being like, oh, you get an extra, like you're changing the clocks. I didn't know that it actually gets longer. Like, what's happening?
Think about
the rotation is...
Yes, because of the earth and the rotations and how it moves on its axis.
Explain it to me.
So think about this, for example. Remember when we went to Canada to the Couve, right? Mm-hmm. And Vancouver, I call it affectionately the Couve, as everyone does. Duh.
Remember I remember. It's like in like Antarctica, it's like light all the time, or like
but
Alaska.
So even though we're kind of in like the middle of the earth, we're not like on the equator. So we still do experience some fluctuation as far as sunlight goes. But I mean, baby girl, aren't you glad you don't live in like the depths of like the earth somewhere, the top or the bottom, where it's literally dark like 23 hours a day?
I wouldn't be able to handle it. I keep telling Lisa, even because we both wake up late. It depends on the day, I guess. But when I'm nocturnal, especially, I wake up at like 2 or something and I'm like, it gets dark at 4:30. I only have 2.5 hours of daylight. That's like
and
not
then,
enough time to do anything.
Think about it. On the flip, I went to Alaska with my brother, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago during the summer. And our plane landed at like 1 a.m. Totally light outside. Totally light. The sun was still up. It was super, super weird. Lily's being carted away by her dog as we speak.
He's really into our game of tug of war right now that I'm trying to like discreetly play. I didn't know about the Alaska thing, I don't think, until I saw the proposal.
Best film of all time. Anyone who doesn't believe it. That and The Holiday. Two best feature films of all time.
Very different, but...
But yes, also very the same.
I'm a big fan of both.
Mm-hmm. Should we jump into the show?
Should we
get started?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, over it.
What she said.
All right, Lil. So, I know this is your favorite part of the show.
Because I love to complain?
No, it's not complaining. It's venting. This is a safe space to overshare.
Well,
so,
I even saw
what are
some
you
Instagram
over?
About that, like, venting versus... I think it was venting versus therapy.
It was like, I think it's a form of it.
Venting is short term. And blah, blah. I was like, no, no, no. I mean, yes, but... No.
But no.
Well, I have a few. One is Max. I think it must just be the neighbors, and he gets anxious if they're being loud or doing something, and if they're making really loud noises. I took him out this morning, and he...
By the way, Max is Lily's dog, in case someone doesn't happen to know that.
Sorry. So I'm tuning in. I'm like, is that your boyfriend? No, of course not. I'm very single. But anyway, I took my dog out, and he went to the bathroom right away. Peed, pooped, came back in, and then it was like 8:30-ish. So I was like, well, I'm awake. I might as well go to McDonald's because I'm up and they have breakfast. So I act like I don't go to McDonald's for breakfast almost every day. It's a nice thing to get me out of the apartment in the morning.
Lily wants a hash brown and maybe an orange juice, and she's a happy girl.
I've really been into the chicken McGriddles lately.
Oh my gosh, she's branching out.
Right. But I get back and he pooped inside twice.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think he's gone like 40 minutes, maybe, not even.
Have you been 30? Mixing a lot of fiber into his diet or something like new that really cleans the pipes?
No, and he like doesn't have accidents. Like he'll hold it. If I'm like sleeping too long or something, if I'm here, he would not go inside. But if I leave...
I feel like he maybe missed you and this was like a cry for help.
Oh, that's for sure an anxiety thing, but I just, it's so random when that happens. And like, I don't know if it's the neighbors because I'm not here, so I can't hear it. I guess I could
poor Max
leave a camera, but that would require getting one.
Max and his bowels. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
But anyway,
I'm sorry that you
over having to clean that up this morning.
Gross.
What are you over?
Oh, okay. So this is something I'm over, but also under, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm kind of actually starting to get into this discussion very, very late. And that is the hashtag Free Britney movement.
Oh, I received a message.
I have not watched it yet, but I know it just came out. And I know that she has like not really commented on it, but like kind of like subtweet commented on it.
I actually haven't even really looked.
So Britney Spears, first off, is like the most sweet little gem of a positive angel of all time. And I think we are only now starting to realize, truthfully, how poorly treated she was as a child, as a teenager, by the media, by paparazzi. The things that happened to her
clips in this documentary are the most disgusting. Like, I'd seen some of them, but some of them you're just like, what?
The concept that a 15 or 16-year-old was being asked about like her virginity so frequently for magazines read by adults
also
is like not acceptable.
That's been a thing for like a lot of pop stars.
It's gross.
Not to minimize them doing to her. It's fucking awful. But like, so, like even the Jonas Brothers and like who, I feel like there were other, didn't Miley Cyrus too?
I don't know. I just remember the Jonas Brothers had the purity rings.
And it was always such a big deal. And I do like, and I remember even when they would talk about it with Britney and it was normal. Like, that's weird that that was normal.
And it's weird because I think I'm like about the same age as her. I'm pretty sure exactly the same age. And I remember like thinking it was a little weird, but not as weird as I do as an adult woman. And maybe we've made strides in society, but what I'm saying is that there's something wrong over there at that house. And like, we need to figure out what's going on. We need to set her free if she needs to be set free.
We need to find out what's up.
Yeah, we do. Me and you. And I mean, you live relatively close. You're from the same area that she lives in. You have to have connections. Yes, she lives
in
your old neighborhood. I thought she lived in that Lake Sherwood.
No, she moved.
Okay.
They moved to like some like 30-acre like compound.
I need you to reach out to some of your like, you know, rich people that you know and find out how we can penetrate the property so that we can set her free so that she can bring her dance moves back to the world because she just continues to entertain us on social media all the time.
I have a feeling and I'm surprised, but I do have a feeling that this documentary did much more than a lot of people thought it would.
Well, I think people are intrigued, and I actually
without even having to do anything, they just put a bunch of clips together and they're like, hey, look how fucked this is.
I actually saw a TikTok that went viral that was made by someone we both know, Erin Darling. And it's like this whole apology to Britney Spears. And at first I was like, oh, because I didn't know the documentary had come out. I was like, oh, is this like a funny thing? No, she's like dead serious. And after watching her TikTok, which was fantastic, I feel impassioned on another level, and I need to know what's going on. So there's that. I'm over it, but I'm under it, you know?
God, I get what you're saying. Yes.
So can you confirm or deny that you're going to like make it happen so that we can help her?
I can confirm. I cannot confirm a time frame.
This should be one of your new videos on your YouTube channel, like one of your deep dives.
Something else needs to happen.
Well, I hope nothing else happens except her coming back to
I know, like
Staples
there needs
Center.
To be a good kid. Well, they need to like let her out. I guess how it ended, how it is right. I think there might have been another hearing today.
Recently. Oh, is that it? Okay.
Or I know they how they had it was that I think they added her lawyer as
a conservator.
Okay. Been too much Epstein stuff. I was going to say a co-conspirator. a co-conservator. And then, but they didn't take her dad off yet.
Do you know what would
but they
really,
are like leaving that option open.
Yeah. Do you know what would really bring my 90s, 2000s heart pure joy? If Justin Timberlake somehow became involved in helping.
Everyone kind of hates him right now because of the documentary.
Why? Oh, see, I haven't watched it. Okay. I need to go watch the documentary. Have you seen it?
And he was also in headlines because people were praising him for being like this LGBTQ plus ally. And he like referred to himself as one. And then everyone was kind of like, when have you ever been like, Justin Timberlake's kind of the last person you think of.
Is it because of his movie? Is it because of his movie that came out?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that either. I've only really been watching reality shows, which I feel like could be a good segue, but we're not there yet. First, we need to hear from a caller. In case you guys are new to this party, we want you on this show. So please give us a call because we have a voicemail. Our phone number is 562-661-8729. Leave us a voicemail in 4 minutes or less, letting us know what you're over. And we recommend that you give us your name.
Have we extended it a minute? Didn't it used to be three?
It's 3 minutes or less, not four. So it's actually 4 minutes minus 1 minute. So it's
got it. Yes,
just,
of course.
It's a lot of math, you know. And
so
yeah,
a smart podcast.
Leave us a voicemail. And also, if you've already called into this show, specifically if you're the girl from Korea, I want an update on what's going on with you. I want to know if you moved to another country, what's happening. Because I talked to my parents about that at length and they just were really concerned. Anyways, roll the tape.
Hi, Jocelyn and Lily, and also Melissa that apparently listens to these voicemails. My name is Kyle, and I've been watching you guys on Clever since who knows when. And I've decided to call after a lot of thinking since I'm a bit shy. That's besides the point. I am so over people that pretend to be someone they're not. I have a lot of friends, and they're all on TikTok. But one specific friend has changed her whole personality and who she is to what she sees on TikTok. So basically every week a new trend comes in, that's who she is. And I'm also in a close-knit friend group of three with her, but I'm close to the other person in the group. I do talk to the other person more, and I guess she tells her mom about it, which is something she would never do when we were kids, and it seems like she's just craving the attention. Her mom texts me, basically telling me to back off and stop talking to the other person in our group. And just talk to her. Like, hello, we are grown adults, fresh out of high school, and this is our first year in college. Why are you still running to your mom about your problems you can handle yourself? We've all been friends since fourth grade, so we've created a really close bond, close enough where she could tell me about how she feels with it, instead of having her mom tell me. Anyways, that's all. I love you guys so much, and I'm waiting for the day I hear me in an Overshare podcast.
Kyle, oh my gosh, the time is nigh, my friend.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Well, Kyle, I would agree that if one of my friend's moms texted me freshman year of college to get involved in our issue, no, that not appropriate.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
Even in like high school and middle school, I feel like if I had a fight with my friends, my mom would be like, this is between you guys.
Oh my gosh. 100%. I always thought it was so weird. And I'm thinking specifically of like, I grew up dancing at a dance studio and like the dance mom stuff is all so true. So much. In fact, Judy, my mom would never come inside. She said, I'm not going inside of that place. I will drop you off at the front, but I will never enter. And she never did. Okay.
Didn't want to be around the toxic energy.
But that was like prime time as far as like your daughter's being mean to my daughter. And obviously there's like extenuating circumstances. Like if you're being bullied or someone's, then it's okay to like get your parents involved. But like, if you're out of high school and you're technically like an adult, super weird, right?
Yeah. And then as for the TikTok personality changing,
wow,
I cannot imagine being in high school or college with TikTok and seeing what people would be posting. Like, I see what some people from my high school post on Instagram and I'm like, oh, interesting.
Do you know, occasionally I think about like what people that I went, not my friends, but like the people I went to high school with must think when they see the stuff I post. And like, honestly, I could give zero
F's. I wonder that too, but honestly, everyone has been so nice. I'll randomly talk to people that I haven't talked to in like a decade. And they're like, it's been so cool seeing your journey, blah, blah. Like, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, journey, huh?
Oh my gosh. But I also am curious. I would love more context. Like, Kyle, DM us on the side. I would love to see your friend's TikTok because I'm trying to really grow on TikTok and I feel like she could give me some new ideas. But here's the thing. I just don't have the energy to reinvent myself like once a decade, let alone once every other day. So like, I don't know. How is she managing it?
I want to know what trends she's doing.
Is it like cottage core, goth core, all the cores, like all the trends of fashion?
You could tell we're really dialed into the TikTok community.
I don't know. I mean, my For You page is just like all gay buff zaddies doing dance moves.
Like, it totally changes for me like every couple days. But back to Kyle. I don't really know. That's unfortunate. I feel like especially when you've been friends with someone for a long time, it's hard when you see them being like different than you know that they are. But also I feel like college is the time that everyone's kind of trying to figure themselves out. So maybe give them a little bit of grace.
That's a good point, Lil. I was thinking more like find some new friends, you know, but COVID and right now is like... because like I will say that I kept, and you did too, I kept a lot of good friends from high school, but like college is when I feel like I really started to like find my people, like people that I like really connected with on like a lot of different stuff that I could have like more in-depth conversations with outside of like MySpace. So I feel like this is a really weird season in time with quarantine and COVID.
Yeah.
What about Bumble for friendships? Oh my gosh.
Why are you telling them to find new friends?
Because I mean, he could make a few new additions to his wolf pack. Like, but also, you know,
and what about a pen pal? College working right now? Or are you guys going? Or is it all online?
I don't know. Because I mean, we live in LA, which is like the hotbed of the bubble. So nothing is happening in California. But I do think in other parts of the country, people are like back in action.
I don't know.
We need to connect.
But also,
Kyle.
I think you should just have a conversation with them too and just tell them your concerns. And you think that you want them to be happy and you don't feel like they're being themselves, which concerns you.
I was going to say, Kyle should connect with our caller from Seoul, Korea. And they could move to, the Netherlands and get a condo together. And I think it would be really fantastic. This show could bring people together.
Should we wrap this up and move on to the main part of the episode?
Absolutely, we should. But you guys, give us a call. We would love to hear what you're over. And we would love to give you advice that we recommend you don't take.
Thank you for calling, Kyle.
We love you. Oh, my gosh.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, Lil, let's jump into the meat and potatoes, you know, the spaghetti and meatballs of this episode. Recently, you and I had quite the hoot of a time discussing the most underrated movies of all time. And we thought, like, hey, what the hell? Let's do some more pop culture type stuff because we're consumers of pop culture, right?
Because nothing's going on in our lives, so we need to talk about something else.
I think everyone relates, though. And I think, you know, it's funny because I was listening to, I think it was like Anne Hathaway or someone like that celeb level who was saying, oh, no, it was Priyanka Chopra. Same celebrity level, very A-list. And she was saying now with COVID and quarantine, because people are consuming so much more content, creators like herself are being like summoned upon to make more stuff than ever. So, I mean, I guess
yet,
it makes sense.
Yet I just sit here and keep consuming everyone else's.
Not YouTube, like, you know, the real grown-up styles of content. So yes. Speaking of grown-up styles of content, today we are going to be breaking down our favorite reality docu-series du jour. And dare I say, I feel as though some of these might also be underrated, but however, some of them are also really, really famous. So, Lil, I have a list. I have a very long list of the reality programming I have been just relishing in. But I know you have more of like an upscale palette when it comes to this kind of content.
Oh, an upscale palette.
You do. You're like the sorbet, like, and I'm like the Ben and Jerry's.
Affinity for murder, you mean?
Okay, so what's your first one? What's your first docu-reality thing you're very into?
See, well, I did not make a list because I feel like also it's hard for me to be like, oh, this is my favorite because I watch a new one every single week. So it's like, I feel like they're just kind of constantly cycling through my brain. Are we talking favorites or should I just talk about like my most recent?
Talk about your, we're going to each do three. How about that?
Okay.
So that we can, you know, end this conversation before the end of the world. But I think you should do your favorites because like I said, you have a very upscale palate and because you've consumed so much of this juicy meat of docuseries, you have, I'm out of control right now. You have, I think, a better understanding of what's good and bad. I would just be like, it's all great.
I think it's hard for me also, though, to determine like good and bad and just what holds my attention. Because I think there's some like there was the recent, I think it was like Inside the Mind of Aaron Hernandez. It was the football player that got caught killing his wife. That I think that was probably a really good documentary, but I had just watched a different documentary on it. So I already knew all about it. So it just wasn't that attention grabbing for me.
Interesting.
But I heard that the reviews for the Elisa Lam documentary series that I just finished, I heard those reviews were not good at all, but like I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay, well, then let's start there. Let's start with Elisa Lam.
I would say that probably isn't like, we'll say that falls at like number three right now.
Because I have quite literally probably not heard of any of these people because I'm not allowed to watch these sorts of things because I'll never sleep again.
Well, and it's funny because I even mentioned it kind of offhandedly to my friend. And she was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, how do you not know? It's called Crime Scene, Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel.
Where is this? Is this woman dead? Has she been rediscovered?
So do you remember it was in 2013, there was a video that went viral of this girl in the elevator of the Cecil Hotel, which is a hotel downtown in LA.
Okay.
It was like super weird security footage. And she was in the elevator pressing a bunch of buttons, but then acting super erratic. And people like thought, and like the door doesn't close when it should, but then she gets out and then it does close really fast and then it opens again. On a bunch of weird stuff happens in this video.
There was a ghost in there with her, right?
So, and everyone is saying that it looked something paranormal was happening or something weird.
Like,
or maybe there was someone else there on the outside, but she goes missing. So she's missing for like 2 weeks-ish, I think. You're gonna freak out when I tell you this.
Oh my gosh, what? Oh my gosh, wait. I feel like you sent me a text about this. Wait, go ahead.
So the way that they discover where she is, they like had been, there's flyers all over downtown LA. Also though, she'd been staying at the Cecil Hotel, quote unquote. The Cecil Hotel has like this dark ass history because it's right next to Skid Row. And so I guess like the amount of people that have died there, it was like the manager said in her 10 years, it was like over 80 people or something.
Why are you working there? I mean, I guess it's a job and I respect that, but oh my gosh.
A few years before Elisa Lam goes there, the girl that goes missing, they decide that because it was being kind of used as like some people were living there permanently because it was so cheap. So it was like homeless people would stay there.
Yeah.
But then also they would use it as like a hostel. So a few years before Elisa Lam goes, they totally redo 3 floors of it and they rebrand it and build another lobby because the Cecil Hotel has such a bad reputation that they build this stay on main hostel situation that looks all upscale and trendy. And you can't really, they like basically like it's not like illegal, but it's like sketchy that they try and make it seem like it's a completely different hotel, but it's actually just 3 floors of the same hotel. Blocked off.
Interesting.
And then they share elevators and a rooftop which has water tanks on it.
Oh my gosh, I already know where this is going.
They discover her after a few weeks because people in the hotel start complaining that the water is brown and tastes, I'm gonna throw up even thinking about it, tastes weird, and they were showering in it. The documentary is an interview with a couple that was like,
I have goosebumps all over my whole body. This is so gnarly. Please do not tell me that she was rotting inside of that water, her body.
I won't tell you.
Because that's what happened. Lil's, oh my gosh,
it's this couple getting interviewed. They're like, we were showering. We were brushing our teeth. We drank it.
Human water.
Like, what do you mean you drank it? So they keep complaining. And finally, like the people are like, oh, I don't know. Like, We'll look into it. And they,
Melissa, our producer, has just told us that part of the first season of How to Get Away with Murder, the TV show, is based on this case. Elisa Lam.
Really?
Oh my gosh. That's so gnarly.
I never watched that. Yeah. So then I guess the maintenance guy goes up there and finds her naked in the water tank. And he goes up there and the like top of it isn't like a hinge. It's just like a block that like a big metal thing that goes over it, but you'd have to like lift it off, move it. So basically to imply that she could not have closed it herself, and that was like a miscommunication that got thrown out into the news and stuff, that the police said that it was closed when they got there. So that immediately would be like, well, someone put her in there then. It ended up being, it wasn't closed when the maintenance guy found her and she was bipolar and had a bunch of other issues. So
wait, so the maintenance guy just closed her in there and didn't want to like tell anybody?
No. When he found her, then he like told the police and stuff. But when he found her, the door was open. So that means like she could have just climbed in.
Oh,
it could have been
gosh.
Like no one else was involved. But then the hotel tries to be like, we don't know how she got on the roof. The door has an alarm. But it's like, this hotel is fucking gross.
Alarms
like,
never work anyway.
Exactly.
Let's
I'm
be
like,
real.
Well, I mean, that's not the most reliable thing. I believe if it didn't go off. And also the building it's like a super old building. It has a sketchy ass fire escape that people like YouTubers go to the hotel after like years later and just like to go investigate and stuff, and they find themselves able to get on the roof a couple years down the line, and there's graffiti up there and stuff. So clearly the hotel's not very secure, but yeah.
Wow. That sounds like something I'm never going to watch because I'm already so like freaked out just listening to you talk about it.
As if that's not all weird. And then it's like, oh my God, was she murdered? Did she have a psychotic break and she got in there? Like, why was she naked? What happened? On top of all that, the amount of weird conspiracy theories, which I watched something and it I think it might have been the documentary. I watched a few other videos about it too after. But he goes, there's like, when something happens once or twice, it's coincidence. When it's happening, like, there's four coincidences, five coincidences, six. He goes, that's not a coincidence. That's synchronicity. And I haven't really looked into the topics of that.
That's a fun word.
But
is that like a spirit world thing?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because so something our listeners and viewers might not know is that I am all in. I believe in all of the spirit world. It freaks me out. It's either good or bad. There's nothing in between. Lily thinks it's a bunch of BS, but she's about to head out and investigate this stuff. And you need to be careful.
I would say I'm a skeptic, but I would like to believe. But okay. Anyway, just some of the conspiracy theories are like, the last place she was seen was the last bookstore. You know that place?
Oh, yeah, I love that place. Yeah.
Someone went online and finds out that the address for the website registrar for the bookstore, for the website, the address associated with it is the same address as the cemetery in Canada that Elisa Lam is buried in.
That makes actually zero sense. So you're telling me that a cemetery owns the last bookstore in, I don't know. I don't understand.
It's super, super weird. No one knows. Also, some weird thing with people think it's like a government cover up or something to do with tuberculosis, because apparently the name for tuberculosis is Lam Elisa, spelled the same way. And apparently Skid Row had like a tuberculosis outbreak that... It's all the stuff that you're like,
this is too confusing.
At the end of the day, I truly just think she had mental health issues and she had a psychotic episode and she was hallucinating, climbed into this thing, and it was a really horrible accident. But it's like, how do you explain these? This is so weird. So it's like, I think even the last like three quarters of the documentary, it's like five episodes, six. All they talk about are all of these weird conspiracy theories, but it's all like, oh, I don't know.
Well, as we said in the episode with Jarrett Sleeper, not we, as he said, conspiracy theories are crazy, but there's always like some shred of truth interwoven. And I don't know what it is with this Elisa Lam thing, but I'm too scared. I'm too freaked out to find out.
I kind of wanted to start another deep dive. And then I was like, you don't have the brain power for that.
Okay. Wow. Well, that was a journey just hearing about that. And
you're welcome.
I'm going to just slightly switch gears right now, just slightly. And by slightly, I mean completely and totally, because I need to fill you in on a show that you all need to be watching. First of all, I have to let you know that one of my favorite films of all time that I saw in the theater four times was Crazy Rich Asians. I love that movie so much.
She's not lying. Now
there's a reality show on Netflix called Bling Empire that's kind of like a loosely based reality version of the TV show or of the movie, except it's set in Los Angeles. I'm only two episodes in, and I mean, I know people in LA have money, but I don't understand like what is going on in the show. There's a woman who has like the Dior store come to her house and she just like buys everything and like gives every, we're talking about like haute couture, like pieces that cost like thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Someone else threw, this other woman on the show threw like a small dinner party for I think Chinese New Year. She shut down Rodeo Drive, the whole entire thing. And instead of giving people like a little piece of chocolate when they left as a gift, her and her husband sponsored an orphan child in China for every single person that came, which is also like amazing. I mean, I love that as a parting gift. I think that's like just dreams and goals. But like the amount of money we're talking about is on another freaking level.
And like, do all these people always have this much money? Are they like born into it?
Oh, they're all born into it. As far as I know,
marry into it.
No, as far as I know, only one of them that's like highly featured on the show happens to have a career. And then one of them who seems to be at this point kind of like the main driving force narrator is this like hot model who was adopted from Korea by an American family. And he's not rich. So he's kind of like the outsider sharing what's going on. But no, to answer your question, they all have like rich parents and like come from like dynasties in China. It's crazy.
Like, what's that like?
I would not know. Okay.
I wonder if it's like probably not even that cool though, because they've just never known anything different.
Or like, oh my gosh, not to spoil the whole show, but one of the girls, it's her birthday. And one of the other ladies on the show is like, oh, I want to take you to my favorite restaurant for your birthday because I just love this restaurant so much.
Country?
It's in Paris. Yeah. Casual. Yeah. Yeah. So Lil, I want to take you to my favorite restaurant, but it's going to be like Sweet Green on the West Side. All right, I'll pick you up in my Prius and I'll drive you there. Yeah, I'll take you to Tender Greens for a nice little chicken dinner. Anyways, that's my first pick. It's on Netflix right now. It's kind of like a newer show, but 10 out of 10 recommend, not only for like the pop culture of it all with Crazy Rich Asians, but it's also just like a sneak peek into a life that like I would have never been exposed to.
Well,
anywho, what's your number two?
That's hard. I'm like debating on if I feel like I'm not going to even include making a murderer because I don't know if that was actually as good as I remember it or if it was just like kind of the first big one of its kind.
I kind of do feel as though you need to give that an honorable mention because I even recall you being so excited about watching the show that you told me about it. Was this the one where like there's two dads and like one of them gave one a hand job or something?
No, that's a different one. That's my number one.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad that's included because our producer, Melissa, is also on this Zoom and she just looked like so perplexed but intrigued.
Yeah, no. But for number two, San Antonio 4.
Oh, San Antonio 4. I think I'm getting that confused with another movie like the Something 7. That's like an actual like Oscar worthy film that's coming out.
I don't know. But this is a case that was in the late 90s. There's four. I think I saw it on Amazon or something. The documentary is called San Antonio 4. And it gets recommended to me and had never heard of the case. It's about four women in San Antonio and they were all lesbians. And it was in the late 90s. And two of them, I think, were the aunts of these little girls that they would like babysit. Or maybe even one of them was the aunt and the rest were just friends. But they were all roommates. And
like fake aunts.
And they would stay there all the time. Like, it was never a weird thing. And the little girls, I think one was like, they're 7 and 9. So, like, old enough that they can verbalize a lot of things. Out of nowhere, all four of these women get arrested because the girls, like, say that the four women were... And this is a really insane story, and I can't get too far into it because I'll never stop talking about it. It was apparently one of the first cases where satanic-related stuff was brought in as, like, court. Like, it was, like, a court argument. These girls got coached into telling that these four women participated in this, like, gang rape situation where they were, like, doing satanic rituals. And I think... they served like
that. But how do you coach someone?
I don't know.
How do you come up with something? I mean, I know how kids can be coached. I get that. But like, how do you come up with this as the concept? It feels like so weird.
Because it was the late 90s. And I guess it was around that time, gay was not okay. And because if you were gay, that automatically meant that you were participating in like orgies and stuff. So it became this whole stereotypical crazy trial. And these four women go to jail for their... all were sentenced to 15 years in prison, with the exception of 22-year-old Ramirez, the supposed ringleader, who received 37 and a half year sentence.
What?
They served their sentences, and after they got out, then they got acquitted.
That is ridiculous.
Acquitted, exonerated, whatever. They were like, oh, they didn't do it. And the kids came out later, and the like little girls, they were like, no, we lied.
Well, that's what my question was going to be, is like these children who are 7 and 9 very soon, I mean, relative to the amount of time these women were serving in prison, would have become adults. Like, that's crazy to me. That's so wild.
Yeah, it was. I saw it a few years ago. I should rewatch it because it was so interesting. But I was just like, because you keep watching the documentary thinking they're going to be like, oh, well, they let them out. They clearly didn't do this. This is absurd. And then it's like, no, they didn't ever let them out. They just did all their time and then they got.
That's devastating. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you already told me that they're out because I feel as though like the Band-Aid's been ripped and I can move on with my life.
Yes.
So my second pick, shockingly enough, is in stark contrast to what you've just described.
Weird.
It is another Netflix show that I binge watched very recently called Indian Matchmaking. Okay, I'm sensing a theme here. I love learning about new cultures through the lens of dating. All right. So I don't know if you know this, but matchmaking in India specifically is still very much a thing. And like, it's very common. It's just like kind of what you do. You can choose to do it or not do it. And your parents basically hire a matchmaker to find a bunch of options for you to marry based off of criteria that you can select.
Kind of sounds then, like The Bachelor.
Exactly. But your parents are at the helm, which is crazy. And so it follows this woman and her name is Seema Aunty. Her name is Seema, but like Aunty is kind of like an endearing term that is used for like older women in Indian culture. And it follows her as she tries to matchmake a bunch of different young people in India, but also in America. And they're all doing it like voluntarily. Their parents are not forcing them into it. And it is rich. At the end of the show, there's a little bit of happiness. I'm not going to say how many people end up getting married or how many people don't end up getting married, but it made me think a lot about like what the F would it have looked like in like my late 20s, early 30s if I had told my parents like, yeah, match me up, hook me up. Like what would have happened?
Where would I be? I would like to have the option.
So wait, would you let Linda matchmake you?
No, I don't know if I'd trust my mom.
But your mom is a no kind of BS kind of woman. So
but she's like, also very like, oh, he was nice. Why didn't you like him? As if it's just like, I should like the first person that's nice.
But the thing is, you still get to go on dates with this person and you get to see, and your parents work together. Like his parents and your parents would be like, yes, yes, yes. No, no, no.
Do they also have the, like, you can't touch, you have to have a chaperone? Is that the same?
I don't know about all that. I'm sure these people are tonguing on the side left and right. Let's be real. It's 2021, Lil. But I'm sure some people who are really conservative are a little more chaste, I would imagine.
Oh, gosh. It would take a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah. And I think if my parents and I could have collaborated, it might have worked out. But I mean, my parents by themselves.
Now I just like, I'm curious what our parents' choices would be.
I probably would be like living on a farm somewhere.
Where are they picking from? Some secret database?
No. So here's the crazy thing is that depending, I guess, on what you want, it's not even like geographically desirable picks. Like a lot of these people are dating people who live in other parts of the country that they live in or even different parts of the world. So these are like Zoom relationships that are like blossoming on Netflix. Love the show.
Who relocates?
Great question. It's all a part of the game.
Okay? This sounds just like The Bachelor, to be honest.
It does, but it's like more civilized kind of because, and also
that's,
way less.
I guess, what's the vibe of the show? Does it feel like genuine?
Yes, but also like a little wild only because it's like outside of what I'm culturally used to. But what I'm not culturally used to or used to in general is how mean the people on The Bachelor are. These women are truly some of the most hateful, mean people I've ever seen in the show's history. And that's why it's not even on my list. Okay. The only thing on my list is effing Katie, who's on the show, who brought her like vibrator. And she's the only nice person on the show.
I just like, they're not, I don't even know if they're actually mean. I feel like they're just like, they just do so much. I'm like, aren't you tired?
Yes, they're tired and drunk. Maybe that's why.
That's true.
Anyways, Indian Matchmaking, my second pick, also on Netflix. Lil, what is your top pick? I already kind of gave it away.
So it's called Abducted in Plain Sight, and it's a Netflix documentary. Might be a series. I don't remember. And it is about a girl that gets abducted by her family's family friend. And oh my God, it's the most absurd story. And just when you think it's been like, oh, it couldn't get weirder than that, you're like, what the fuck? fuck is going on? Basically, their family friend kidnapped her. I feel like he drugged her or something to get her out. So then she wakes up and he has her in an RV. And I don't want to spoil everything, but this is just the big weird, like, what do you... Like, I hope this will hook you to go watch it. She wakes up in an RV and there's a radio next to her. This was something that I was kind of like half paying attention to when it was on. And then all of a sudden this part happens. And I'm like, wait, what do you, what? And I like suddenly was like, I'm okay. I'm invested.
I'm in.
He is like this middle-aged man, older man. He is driving, but he had set up, she like wakes up and there's this radio next to her. And he goes over the radio to tell, it's like an intercom, and tells her that he's an alien. And he like is giving like a name, like it's weird alien names involved. And he basically is saying she's been abducted by aliens. And eventually it leads to like that it's going to be her job to help this old dude, the family friend. They're going to have to repopulate the earth. Throw up.
That is disgusting.
And like the girl's alive, so she's in the documentary being interviewed. Like she is a first-hand account of what happened, and she's an adult now. You might be like, where were the parents? How did they let this happen? Well, they kind of like tried to intervene in the beginning, but then like they had like a semi like relationship even. And the parents let it happen. And the part you brought up is that the dad, before he knew anything about the daughter, I guess was in the car with him. And the guy has a boner and then like looks at the dad and like kind of was like, well,
what are you going to do about it?
Like, what are friends for, kind of? And then like has him jack him off. But then the dad is like telling this in the documentary, and he's like so ashamed and he's like kind of crying and stuff. And basically what it comes down to is that the guy blackmails he was having an affair essentially with both of the parents, the wife too, in order to blackmail them and keep them silent about his affair with the daughter.
I mean, I've never, it's like the sickest thing of all time. It's so gross.
I can't believe any of it is real.
I just, the main thing that's always stuck with me, because this is one of these like first times you'd ever watch one of these like scary docuseries and you were sharing it with me. I think we were like actually on a shoot on Beauty Trippin' and you were like, and then he gives the guy a hand job. And I was like, how did we get here? Okay.
That makes no sense. I mean, that's exactly how you're reacting when you're watching it. And then you're like, wait, what? And like the way the dad describes it is that it's like not that weird that he did it.
It's like, very
is that
odd.
Like, am I unclear what like male friendships are like? Because I wasn't aware that that was.
I'm pretty sure it's weird. I'm pretty sure, but I'll check with Chris. I'll ask Chris. Okay. Wow. What an effing journey. That's another one I don't know if I'm allowed to watch. But
we
what
put
I
a
am
parental advisory on this one.
What I am allowed to watch is the number one in this category for me by so far. And I know that Melissa, our producer, is definitely going to agree with me when I say the best reality show that you need to be watching hands down right now is Real Housewives of Salt Lake freaking City. Okay, listen to me,
Lily. Salt Lake City?
Yes, exactly. Before you write this off, let me give you a little context. I'm kind of over the Real Housewives, sort of. Some of the people in the different cities are just like really mean now and like too famous. I like the season one version of these women when it's just like all new to them and they're still being like who they are without like the cameras rolling, sort of.
Salt Lake City.
The interesting thing about Salt Lake City right off the bat is that it's the first time I can remember on this series, this franchise, where like religion has kind of played a big role in the show, because Salt Lake City is like the capital of Mormonism, which is such a mysterious religion. I just think in general, people like don't know much about it. And there's like a lot of rules. And if you've ever been to Salt Lake City, which I have, the religion is very much a part of the community. Like, for example, if you go to a restaurant in Salt Lake City and you're like, can I get a beer? They're like, oh, before you can get an alcoholic beverage at this restaurant, you have to buy a membership because we only serve alcohol to our members. And I was like, cool, like how much is it? And they're like, $5. So there's like a lot of weird, like nuanced things in Salt. Yeah, or at least were in Salt Lake City the last time I was there. Maybe it's changed. So that is the landscape at which we are meeting these women in Salt Lake City. And they're all very different. I think only like a couple of them are like Mormon or like Mormon-ish, like sort of Mormon on the weekends. I'm not really sure. Because like one of them owns like a very successful tequila company, which is like, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to drink at all in the Mormon culture, but I guess you are allowed to sell tequila. Not really sure how that works. But Lily, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off of quite literally.
Reminds me of the example I always, it's like where you can have a ferret in California, but you can't buy one.
Exactly. You can't bring the ferret across state lines, but you can absolutely have one. But you know what you can't have, Lily? You cannot be an adult woman who is married to her step-grandfather. All right. And that is what is happening on this show. When I tell you, I audibly screamed inside of my small home. I'm not lying. There's a woman named Mary on the show whose grandmother passed away. And as her grandmother was dying, the grandmother said, Mary, all I want for you is to now marry my husband, AKA your step grandpa. So Mary did it, married her step grandpa, and they had a child together, which means they have had sex, which yep, that has happened. And so that unfolds. We get to see that unfold on the show. Yeah.
I don't think I want to see that unfold. Mm-hmm.
But also there's
coming from the person that just talked about three of the most morbid documentaries.
But also there's this woman named Heather on the show, and she's very likable. She's been through a lot. She was Mormon and she was married and it didn't work out. And she feels like an outcast to society. And I mean, all she wants to do is like hook up with as many people as she can. She has teenage daughters and a very successful business that she has started herself. And apparently, allegedly, Rihanna's her biggest fan and has been DMing her. So there you go.
Are these people, no one would know who they were before the show?
I don't really think many of them are famous. There's one lady who has a jewelry brand, but like, I don't think she herself was famous.
I guess, did people know who any of the other ones are before the show?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe in the local Salt Lake City community. Perhaps, but not on an international level where Rihanna would be DMing you. Like, that's pretty effing cool, right?
Reality TV is so weird for that reason, because think of all the celebrities that do, like, when they have downtime, that is what they watch.
I mean, I feel like I have so much in common with Rihanna at this point. Like, we should just start an after show together where we can discuss, like, all of the many crazy things. My question is this, Lil. After hearing about all of the three shows that I've just described, which one are you most likely to actually tune into?
Honestly, probably the Mormon one because it sounds pretty fucked. But what was the first one?
Bling Empire. The reality show.
That I would be interested to see. But no, I think the last one.
Anyways, if you guys are watching this on YouTube or if you're listening to this in podcast format, please tweet us or leave a comment letting us know what we missed on this list, because I'm always looking to expand my horizons in the reality world specifically. So please let us know. And with that, Lil, are you ready to move on to the final part of this little show?
Let's do it.
So long, farewell.
I hate us so much more now.
Okay, Lil, so what brought you joy this week?
I mean, I guess it's not really this week, but kind of recently, I rediscovered this thing that I have that you're not going to be able to see. I'll try and show it in the camera if you're watching this on YouTube. But it's called the Better Back.
Ooh.
And it looks kind of like I'm wearing like knee pads / a seatbelt, but.
Describe it for it our viewers.
It has like little like knee pads and then basically has like a piece that sits, I don't know if you can hear me, a piece that sits behind your like on your lower back. And then you put these straps around your knees and hook it together. And so then when you like put your knees down,
your posture stays perfectly intact.
It like forces you to sit up straight.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think it's kind of, I think it might be kind of expensive, but I bought it a long time ago because someone was like, this was life changing for like, if you're in the car or sitting at a desk or something. And I was like, oh, it's kind of pricey. I don't know. And they're like, just do it. You won't regret it. And I remember liking it a lot when I got it, but then I moved and I put it in my closet and forgot about it.
You found it.
I rediscovered it. Now I didn't use it this whole podcast.
And it's called the Better Back.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. That looks just like cozy to sit in. Like you're in like a little baby cocoon almost.
It's honestly nice. And it almost like if your back was like super tight, it kind of feels like if you're like leaning against a desk.
Ooh, like a massage?
Or no, like if like when you're in like school, you could crack your back.
Yes, of course.
But so that's what brought me joy.
I love that for you. Amazing.
What about you?
Oh, well, I don't know if you recall, but a few weeks back on this show, I told you about how I was planning to launch merch. But then when I put one of the sweatshirts into the washing machine, the logo melted off. It was a whole saga. So I've been dealing with that. But I'm happy to report that my merch is finally live at the time of this podcast. And it's only going to be a limited edition. So if you missed the boat this time, no big deal.
Because a limited drop.
Yeah, it's a limited drop. It's kind of like Kylie's skin. I'm just hoping that like at least 3 people buy them and that would bring me joy. But I'm just glad that it's like on the market. It's out. People can pick them up if they would like to. And I'm excited to do more. It's not like a Joslyn shirt. It's just like a shirt that I think is cute.
I want to make some. I feel like I need to get my act together.
You definitely should. And the other thing that brought me joy is that for the first time in like a year, I was able to get a COVID safe haircut. And when I posted the photos of what my hair looked like before and after, it actually looks longer after it was cut. And I don't know why, but it was a big moment. It brought me a lot of mental health happiness. So if you live somewhere near LA and you're looking for a very safe way to get a haircut, check out my girl Jackie on Instagram. She is like the most sanitized person I've ever met in my life. And that's what brought me joy.
I'm jealous. I need some joy, but I mostly need a haircut.
Absolutely. And it will bring you a lot of joy. And with that, you guys, I think this episode of Overshare has come to a close. If you are new here, please subscribe. Please rate us 5 stars and leave us a review because that's how people find us in this podcast world.
And call and leave us a voicemail because we want to just hear what you're over and what you want to vent about.
Again, the phone number is 562-661-8729. And with that, friends, this episode is over.
Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.